HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228 EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
Find out what's going on in the world, the state,
and in your own backyard.
This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
It's 8 o'clock. Good morning, I'm Terry Bell, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Governor Evers says he's grateful for how police handled an armed man who tried to threaten him at the state capitol this week. Nate Wegehout has more.
The man was first arrested at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. After posting bail, he returned to the Capitol Square with a rifle around 9 o'clock at night. Governor Evers was not in the Capitol building either time. Evers said that Capitol Police handled the situation well.
The Capitol Police took control of the situation, and so it's over. But, yeah, it's always something that is things you don't want to see happen.
Lawmakers inside the building were not notified of either incident until Thursday morning, but Assembly Speaker Robin Foss said that he too was satisfied with how police handled the situation. Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
Capitol Police say the suspect's name is Joshua Pleasnik. He's 43 years old and lives in Madison. Social media posts indicate Pleasnik goes by the nickname Taco. Republicans are trying to shut down events like the World Naked Bike Ride in Wisconsin. That's after Madison authorities declined to press charges over a 10-year-old girl's participation this summer. Pictures were posted on Facebook. Jeff Weingand is a Dane County Board supervisor from Sun Prairie. He spoke at a hearing on two state Senate bills yesterday.
I used to love going to the Dane County Farmers Market. I used to love walking around places like the Monona Terrace and State Street. I can no longer do those things with my family for fear of what my children will be exposed to.
The bills seek to make laws covering public nudity and children in particular consistent statewide. The U.S. Agriculture Department is announcing $23 million in award support to support dairy farmers and dairy businesses in the Midwest. Brian Whittakins reports from the World Dairy Expo in Madison.
$7 million of that $23 million has been allocated to Wisconsin. Jenny Lester Moffitt, USDA Undersecretary for Marketing and Regulatory Programs, made the announcement at World Dairy Expo.
Combined for the Midwest will total be about $40 million since 2019 that we've invested here in Midwest production for dairy innovation.
The initiatives support small and mid-sized dairy businesses in the development, production, marketing, and distribution of dairy products. From World Dairy Expo, I'm Brian Winnikins.
It's National Banned Books Week. Every year at this time, librarians and educators get the word out about what books some groups are trying to keep out of the public's hands. Bookstore manager Jennifer Jubenville tells Channel 10 in Duluth that Banned Books Week calls attention to the importance of reading. Books get challenged by people who say their content is obscene, but Jubenville says banned books often have important messages that need to be heard. That's what Wisconsin needs to know. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
For WCFW and the Tap FM, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Here's what you need to know in the Chippewa Valley. Chippewa County Sheriff Travis Hakes released a lengthy statement Thursday refuting multiple parts of a report that is leading to a vote next week to remove him from office. The report says Hakes didn't do parts of his job and profited from his role as sheriff by selling real estate and other items on the side and had inappropriate communication with a coworker. Hakes denied most of the allegations and said the report was politically motivated. The Chippewa County Board will vote on Tuesday whether to remove him as sheriff. One board member has already called for Hakes to resign. A man is seriously hurt after being trapped inside of a combine that had rolled over Wednesday in Trumbull County. The sheriff's office said that the 48-year-old man was driving north on a road near Arcadia when he went to turn off of the road, but went into the ditch instead. The combine then rolled over and pinned the man inside. He was flown to a hospital with serious injuries. Today's weather, cloudy with scattered showers, highs only getting into the low 50s. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
The Chicago Bears finally won a game. Good morning, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. A stunner last night on Thursday Night Football. The Bears beat the Commanders in Washington. Final score, Chicago 40, Washington 20. That snapped a 14-game losing streak for the Bears dating back to last year. About an hour before the kickoff, the team learned of the passing of Hall of Fame linebacker Dick Butkus at the age of 80. Bears head coach Matt Eberflus after the game.
Just got out of the locker room. Guys did a nice job of sticking together. And let me digress for a second. My condolences to the Butkus family. I had several chances to visit with Dick. He's one of my idols growing up, being a linebacker, and we had some good talks.
Wide receiver DJ Moore with three touchdowns, 230 yards receiving, the second most in a game in Bears franchise history. in Green Bay. The Packers have practice today and tomorrow before flying to Las Vegas to face the Raiders on Monday Night Football. The Packers trying to figure out how to shut down now Raiders wide receiver Davante Adams. I talked to defensive back Jaire Alexander.
I mean, you know, it'll feel good. It'll feel better with interception. You know?
Head coach Matt LaFleur.
I don't know if there's a lot to help against a player of that caliber. If he's not the best, he is certainly right there.
College football, the Badgers host the Rutgers Scarlet Knights. Kickoff at 11 a.m. tomorrow morning in Madison. Then next, the Badgers will face Iowa, followed by Illinois and Ohio State. Head coach Luke Fickell.
You know, we've got a stretch here. Nobody wants to talk about the stretch, right? We want to talk about, you know, what's coming up on Saturday, but this is the time, this is the stretch that we've got to make sure we're moving forward and doing the things that are going to give us a chance to be successful, not just this weekend, but continue to push forward for the next 8 weeks.
Baseball, the Brewers cleaning out the clubhouse, some for perhaps the last time, like pitcher Corbin Burns.
Just feel bad for all these guys that, you know, worked their butt off for all season, but and not even this season for the years just to get to this point.
That's Brewers pitcher Corbin Burns. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I think it's working. I think it's all together. Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome into the Stu Daniels Show. It is a Friday morning. It is the 6th of October. And despite technological problems that we're having, we're going to do a radio show. Are you ready? I'm ready. Welcome into the Stu Daniels Show. Come on in, grab a cup of coffee or a cup of tea, and let's go over some news and some sports and some weather. And I've got some updated weather forecasts for you for the day. Outside today in La Crosse, mostly cloudy, breezy, with a chance of rain, high around 50 degrees. In Eau Claire, breezy and rain likely, high around 50 degrees. Richland Center today, rain likely, breezy, high around 56. In Amory, increasing clouds, rain likely, breezy with a high around 50 degrees. And in Hayward today, rain likely, breezy with a high of only 47. In sports, Wisconsin plays Rutgers tomorrow. Camp Randall Stadium game time is 11 a.m. And in the news, there's a lot going on. You probably heard that a man with a gun was arrested at the state capitol on Wednesday. He was demanding to see Governor Evers. And then after being arrested, then posting bail, the man later returned with an assault rifle and was arrested again. Also in the news, in fact, the first thing that we're going to get to today is this big jobs report stunner. Jobs numbers just came out, being the first Friday in the month. I have a story here from Yahoo Finance with that headline that says, jobs report stunner. U.S. economy creates 336,000 jobs in September, nearly twice the number expected. And I'll give you this story. This is quite surprising, something that really no one expected. And I know that there are some people who are still having economic issues, problems with the economy, their personal economy. But as far as the collective economy is concerned, seems to be humming right along. The U.S. economy added 336,000 jobs in September, highlighting concern that the labor market isn't cooling as fast as the Federal Reserve would like in its battle against inflation. Obviously, with a lot more people taking jobs, often higher paying jobs than they had previously, there may be a problem with inflation. It says here the non-farm payroll additions nearly doubled. The 170,000 economists surveyed by Bloomberg had expected. Revisions to the August and July jobs reports released on Friday today showed there were 119,000 more jobs created during those months than previously reported. You understand what that means, right? In addition to the 336,000 new jobs, the adjusted numbers for August and July show that in addition to what was reported during those months, there was actually another 119,000 jobs on top of that that were added. So for the month of September, the numbers that came out today, the unemployment rate remained flat at 3.8%, which is unchanged from August, and at level not since February 2022. Not sure exactly what that means, or maybe some kind of a grammatical error there. But I guess what that means is unchanged from August at levels not seen since February of 2022, I guess is how that's supposed to read. It says here wages, a closely watched indicator of how much leverage workers are exerting in the labor market, rose less than expected last month, rising 0.2%. on a monthly basis, and 4.2% over last year. Economists expected wages to rise 0.3% over last month, and then 4.3% over last year. The labor force participation rate increase remained unchanged at 62.8%, which is the highest level since February of 2020, which you may know is was the month before the pandemic hit. Average weekly hours also remained flat at 34.4. So remaining flat just means it's unchanged. And it says here by industry, the largest increases in Friday's data were seen in leisure and hospitality, where 96,000 jobs were added. Employment in food services and drinking places rose by 61,000, reaching its pre-pandemic level. Government employment increased by 73,000, while healthcare added 41,000 jobs. The labor market has been a key factor in the Federal Reserve's read of the economy, which remains in focus ahead of the central bank's next policy meeting on November 1st. And it says here on September 20th,
Fed Chair Jerome Powell noted there still needs to be some softening in the labor market to keep inflation moving down to the Fed's 2% goal. If that isn't continuously seen, Powell has warned that could push the Fed to raise rates again. Quote, evidence that the tightness in the labor market is no longer easing could also call for a monetary policy response, Powell said in a speech at the Jackson Hole Economic Symposium. A week full of labor market data leading into the report has shown some indications of a cooling labor market. The ADP National Employment Report showed 89,000 private payroll jobs were added to the U.S. economy in September. Economists surveyed by Bloomberg had expected job additions of 150,000 for the month. As we mentioned, it was actually 336,000. Wage data from ADP showed the difference between wage growth gained by leaving a job versus staying is at its slimmest margin since October of 2020. And on Tuesday, the latest job opening and labor turnover survey, or what's called the JOLTS report, revealed there were 9.6 million jobs open at the end of August, an increase from 8.92 million job openings in July, and the highest reading since May. But economists pointed out that the quits rate and hiring rate remaining at pre-pandemic levels during August will help keep wage growth, a key indicator watched by the Fed, lower. Okay. And it says here, as of Thursday evening, markets are pricing in a roughly 80% chance the Fed does not raise interest rates at its next meeting. So there's the latest jobs information for you. U.S. adding another 336,000 jobs. And I just want to let my producer, Sam, know that I can't see you right now, but I'm assuming that you're giving me a sign to let me know we've only got a couple minutes left before we go to break. So why don't we go ahead and take that break, and I'll get my computer fixed here, and we'll be back. Stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
Slides into the ignition. The engine rumbles to life. My hand grips the throttle. New gear for my ride. The road, my invitation. The sound, the smell, the exhilaration. I am one with the bike. And the car in front of me suddenly turns in my lane. Motorcycles are everywhere, but too often go unnoticed. Please, always look twice, be alert, and share the road with motorcycles at all times. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Transportation.
delicious Honeycrisp, Granny Smith. If you have a favorite apple, now is the time to pick it straight from the source. Did you know Wisconsin has more than 300 apple orchards? Travel Wisconsin recently naming its favorites, including the Oneida National Apple Orchard outside Green Bay, Ferguson's Orchards in Eau Claire, and Apple Holler south of Racine. Many provide tons of family fun in the fall, too. Tire swings, lawn bowling, hay rides, and more. Apple experts suggest if you want to pick yours fresh, do it before the end of October. For Civic Media, I'm Terry.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
It's going to be cloudy and windy with scattered off and on showers possible here through the day. Today, we'll get to 49 for a high. The wind out of the northwest at 15 to 25, gusting to around 30 at times. Tonight, mostly clear, 35. Tomorrow, partly to mostly cloudy, 52. By Sunday, partly cloudy with a high of 53. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 48.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
I take for granted that you're always there.
classic for you, huh? Todd Rundgren. Friday morning, 24 minutes after 8 o'clock, almost 25 minutes after. Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. Right now in La Crosse, 48 degrees. Also 48 in Richland Center. And the next thing I want to get to here is the story I mentioned at the beginning of the show about a man with a handgun looking for Tony Evers. The guy was arrested at the Capitol, inside the Capitol, on Wednesday. So after they took him away, after they arrested him, he posted bail and then came back later in the evening with an assault rifle. And I know that many gun proponents want to say that anybody should be able to buy a gun anytime they want to, and there should be no background checks, and you should be able to carry the weapon without having to get a license or anything, and everybody should be able to carry a gun, buy a gun. And this is exactly why we need some regulations on who can buy guns. And I'll give you a little bit of this story from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel before we have to go to our break. It says here that a 43-year-old Madison man demanded to see Governor Tony Evers at the Wisconsin State Capitol on Wednesday afternoon and returned later with an assault rifle after posting bail, according to state officials. Evers told reporters on Thursday he was unharmed and had confidence in the state Capitol police and would continue there, that they would continue to keep him safe. And here's the quote from the governor. He said, "I'm okay. To their credit, the Capitol Police took control of the situation, and so it's over. But yeah, it's always something, that is, things you don't want to see happen. But that's why we have good people in the police departments, in the Capitol Police and the State Patrol," Evers told reporters. "They're doing their great work." So on Wednesday afternoon, Joshua Plesnick, who police say goes by Taco, arrived at the state Capitol shirtless, with a leashed dog and wearing a holstered handgun, according to information on the incident provided to lawmakers and obtained by the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. While being interviewed, Plesnick said he would continue coming to the Capitol until he spoke to the governor about domestic abuse towards men, the report said. Plesnick stated he did not own a vehicle, and it is likely he has access to a large amount of weapons and is comfortable using them. "Use extreme caution when in contact with Plesnick. He should be considered armed," Capitol Police officials told lawmakers in an alert. So this guy was arrested after approaching the security desk outside of Evers' office inside the state Capitol. Got to take a break. Stick around. You're tuned in to your local Civic Media radio station.
Warden threw a party in the county jail. The prison band was there and they began to wail. The band was jumping and the joint began to swing. You should have heard this knocked out jailbird sing. Let it rock. Everybody let it rock. Everybody in old cell block.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
CBS News Special Report. We are just getting an updated snapshot of the nation's labor market. The Labor Department says there were 336,000 jobs created in September. That's way up from 187,000 new positions the month before. Most of the gains in leisure, hospitality, healthcare, government. The bigger picture now from Bankrate's Mark Hamrick.
According to the Labor Department, employers added an average of 399,000 jobs in 2022. 2022. So far in 2023, the monthly hiring pace has settled down to 236,000, with just 150,000 jobs added from June through August on average.
Once again, there were 336,000 jobs created in September, significantly more than the 187,000 the month before. Unemployment remains steady at 3.8%. CBS News Special Report. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
For WCFW and the Tap FM, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Here's what you need to know in the Chippewa Valley. Chippewa County Sheriff Travis Hakes released a lengthy statement Thursday refuting multiple parts of a report that is leading to a vote next week to remove him from office. The report says Hakes didn't do parts of his job and profited from his role as sheriff by selling real estate and other items on the side and had inappropriate communication with a coworker. Hakes denied most of the allegations and said the report was politically motivated. The Chippewa County Board will vote on Tuesday whether to remove him as sheriff. One board member has already called for Hakes to resign. A man is seriously hurt after being trapped inside of a combine that had rolled over Wednesday in Trumbull County. The sheriff's office said that the 48-year-old man was driving north on a road near Arcadia when he went to turn off of the road, but went into the ditch instead. The combine then rolled over and pinned the man inside. He was flown to a hospital with serious injuries. Today's weather, cloudy with scattered showers, highs only getting into the low 50s. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Folks, I tell you this much, the Kripescast is just the butter on my cheese.
When it came time, like, oh, I'm going to pursue comedy. At the time, it was like, well, it's New York and Los Angeles. I'm like, I knew more people in New York. I knew you'd get funnier in New York and there's more stage time. I'm like, I'm going to LA. If my dreams are going to come crashing down, I'd rather have them come crashing down on the beach.
Kripescast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
If I could be you,
and you could be me,
for just 1 hour,
if you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind,
walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out, and for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Pursuing the truth wherever it may lead. The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3. Join the conversation. Get involved. The Todd Albaugh Show on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Last night, I got loaded
back to the Stu Daniels Show. From Los Lobos on a Friday morning. And I should mention that David Hidalgo of Los Lobos celebrating a birthday today, born on this date in 1954. Yeah, welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. If you have an opinion on anything we're discussing today, feel free to call in. I'd like to hear what you have to say. The phone number is 715-388-7155. And right now, 44 degrees in Amory, 47 degrees in Eau Claire. And just before the break, we were discussing this gentleman, Joshua Plesnik, who showed up at the Capitol on Wednesday with a gun, said he wanted to see Governor Evers after they arrested him, and he posted bail. He came back later in the day, actually that evening, with an assault rifle, said he still wanted to see the governor. So he was taken away again. I was going over the story from the Journal Sentinel. It says Plesnik, Joshua Plesnik, was arrested after approaching the security desk outside of Evers' office inside the state capitol. Department of Administration spokeswoman Tatiana Warwick told the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He said he would not leave until he saw Governor Evers. Police arrested the man for openly carrying a firearm inside the Capitol building, which is a violation of state law. Plesnik returned to the state capitol about 9 p.m. with an assault-style rifle after posting bail at the Dane County Jail. He demanded to see the governor again and was again taken into custody. Says here, lawmakers were not notified of either incident until Thursday morning. The Evers administration initially refused to supply information to the Journal Sentinel early Thursday. Quote, I was not notified, but it sounds like the Capitol Police did a fine job. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, Republican, said, and he said that on Thursday. Last year, Evers appeared on a target list of a man accused of fatally shooting a retired county judge. So-called hit list was found in the suspect's vehicle with names that included Governor Evers, Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer, and U.S. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, Republican from Kentucky. And so that is exactly why we need gun regulation, because there are a lot of people out there who have mental and emotional issues that should not be allowed to own or carry guns, right? I think we can all agree on that. If you disagree, I'd like to hear what you have to say. The next thing I want to get to is an event that goes on in Madison every year. Let me ask my producer, Sam, have you ever participated in the World Naked Bike Ride?
I have not. I saw it 2 years ago and I had no idea what it was. And I was just like driving through town when it happened and I was like so caught off guard.
That's funny. If you don't know what's going on and you just happen to see all these people riding past you on bikes without any clothes on, they're wearing their helmets, which is a good safety thing, but they're not wearing any clothes. Well, there's news on this. This is according to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And evidently, Republicans want to shut the whole thing down. They say it's not good for kids, evidently. Republicans seek to shut down the World Naked Bike Ride events in Wisconsin after a child's participation. This piece posted yesterday by Hope Carnop at Milwaukee Journal Sentinel says here, Republican lawmakers are attempting to shut down the World Naked Bike Ride events in Wisconsin after local police and prosecutors determined a young girl's photographed participation in the Madison ride this summer did not violate any laws. A Senate committee held a public hearing Thursday for two bills aimed at changing how police would prosecute displays of nudity in public and preventing taking photos of nude children. The proposals have gained the support of about 20 Republicans, but no Democrats. Quote, "It's kind of a joke, but it's not a joke," said Senate President Chris Kapenga, a Republican from Delafield and author of the bills. "This is a pretty serious issue, especially in today's society," is his quote. One bill would eliminate the language in state law that exposing genitals publicly and indecently constitutes a Class A misdemeanor, which carries a $10,000 fine, 9 months in prison, or both. The statute would instead apply to intentional exposure in public. Both proposals include exceptions for breastfeeding in public. And the other bill would prohibit people from allowing minors to attend, quote, "an event at which a group of adult participants intentionally expose their genitals, buttocks, or other intimate parts in a public area," end quote. It would also prohibit taking pictures of nude children in public unless for the purpose of reporting it to law enforcement within a day. Children have always been allowed to participate if they are with a parent or legal guardian, according to Peter Keating, the organizer of the Madison event. He doubted whether the changes would result in the event being shut down, noting district attorneys have not enforced other laws like the state's 1849 abortion ban. Democratic Governor Tony Evers said, "It's probably not a really good idea for children to participate in the event," and said he'd take a look at the proposals. Quote, "I think we need to keep things from boiling over into litigating and legislating things that frankly don't need it," Evers said yesterday, Thursday, after touring a child care center in Oregon. "It happened once. Do we need to legislate against that? It seems like there's more important things for people to legislate about," end quote. Senator LaTanya Johnson, Democrat from Milwaukee, brought up concerns that the changes could mean parents would not be allowed to take children to a Beyoncé concert, for example, where dancers may show their buttocks on stage. The legislature's nonpartisan attorneys said a court could interpret the law narrowly and not criminalize the parents. Quote, "There are a lot of concert venues in my district," Johnson said. "It's a concern for those parents that will take their children there that can potentially be illegal. And it also affects the revenue that's coming into the state from ticket sales, concession purchases, the whole nine yards," end quote. Well, I guess here's a quote from Kapenga. He said, "I highly doubt that Beyonce would not come because she..." I should have read this before I read it on the radio. Kapenga says, "I highly doubt that Beyonce would not come because she can't expose her crack." That's what he said. "A strip of cloth from Joanne's Fabric costs about 37 cents. So if they've got to buy 100 strips of cloth to cover their butt crack, I'm okay with that," end quote. That has to be the craziest quote I think I've ever read on the radio. In a memo sent to lawmakers seeking co-sponsorship, Kapenga and Representative Cindy Ducow, Republican from the town of Delafield, described their Child Protection Act as a response to a girl's participation in Madison's World Naked Bike Ride earlier this summer. Quote, "Madison police had cited participants in the past, but new city leadership seems to have looked the other way," they wrote. "These bills will help give all municipalities clarity in the law and affirm that exposing yourself in public is illegal, and furthermore, subjecting kids to this indecent and inappropriate display will also not be tolerated," end quote. The Madison Police Department received multiple complaints, including from conservative Dane County Supervisor Jeff Wigand, alleging a girl believed to be about 10 years old rode in the June event. A photo posted to Facebook by the organizer of Milwaukee's event showed the girl facing away from the camera, riding a bike while nude with her buttocks visible. The department's Special Victims Unit reviewed the photo but determined Wisconsin's statutes on possession of child pornography did not apply because the photo was not sexual in nature. And I think we have to stop right there and mention that's the whole crux of the issue. The World Naked Bike Ride isn't a sexual thing. It's a freedom thing, right? So this photograph of this girl in the bike ride was, of course, not sexual in nature because sex doesn't have anything to do with this bike ride. Getting back to the story in the Journal Sentinel, it says police also determined a statute relating to exposing a child to harmful material or narrations did not apply, again, because this has nothing to do with sex. Police also used their discretion to not cite participants. Under the local public indecency ordinance, Madison City Attorney Michael Haas previously explained, court decisions interpreting indecent leave room for judgment about whether the conduct offends a community's sense of decency, he said. Even if the bills are enacted, law enforcement and prosecutors could still determine whether the conduct warrants prosecution under state criminal laws or local ordinances, Haas said. The State Department of Justice also confirmed it was never involved in investigating the incident. So there you have it. It's not about sex. It's about being on a bike with a bunch of people and, yes, being naked. Is that a bad thing? What do you think? Feel free to call in and let me know, 715-388-7155. Going to take a break. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
Oh, yes, they call him the street. Fastest thing on 2 feet. He's just as proud as he can be of his anatomy. He gonna give us a peek. Oh, yes, they call him the street. Like to show off his physique. If there's an audience to be found, he'll be speaking it round, inviting public critique.
Hello, what's again, everyone? Your Action News reporter on the scene at the gas station. There seems to have been some disturbance here. Pardon me, sir, did you see what happened?
Yeah, I did. I was just in here trying to get some air in my car there, and he disappeared out of the traffic. Come streaking around the grease right there, didn't have nothing on but a smile. Ethel's in there getting her a cold drink. I hollered in there, I said, "Don't look, Ethel!" Too late, she done been mooned. Flashed her right there in front of the shock absorbers.
He ain't
moon. Boogie-dad, boogie-dad.
He ain't
moon. Boogie-dad, boogie-dad.
He's just on the mood to run in the noon.
Well, yes, they call him the street. Likes to turn the other cheek. He's always making the news, wearing just his tennis shoes.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
93.5, The Tap. It's going to be cloudy and windy with scattered off and on showers possible here through the day today. We'll get to 49 for a high. The wind out of the northwest at 15 to 25, gusting to around 30 at times. Tonight, mostly clear, 35. Tomorrow, partly to mostly cloudy, 52. By Sunday, partly cloudy with a high of 53. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 48.
Civic Media radio stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
That song in a long time. What a jam from Matthew Sweet. That song's about 30 years old now, but it's been a long time since I heard it. Matthew Sweet, by the way, celebrating a birthday today, born on this date in 1964. Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. We've got 41 degrees in Hayward right now. In La Crosse, it's 49 degrees at 8:53. And the next topic I want to get to here is about the net worth of the former president of the United States. Did you hear that he did not make the Forbes 400 list that was just published? You know, Forbes magazine publishes a list of the 400 richest people. And it says here, for the first time in a few years, in several years, he did not make the cut because his estimated net worth had fallen drastically. I'll give you a little bit of the story from Newsweek. It says here that Donald Trump's net worth at risk of catastrophic hit. According to a lawyer, this piece was posted yesterday afternoon at Newsweek by Catherine Fung, and it says Donald Trump's net worth is at risk of taking a catastrophic hit, a former federal prosecutor said. Michael McAuliffe, who also is a former elected state attorney, said that the $250 million civil fraud suit being brought against Donald Trump, his two eldest sons, and the Trump Organization is posing a significant threat to the former president's net worth, and it's likely Trump knows it. Quote, the case has the increasingly likely consequence of dismantling the Trump family businesses in New York. And it says that would be catastrophic to Donald Trump's net worth, whatever it is, McAuliffe told Newsweek. That may be why he showed up at trial and is attacking the participants with sustained verbal tantrums, end quote. In a rare court appearance, Trump attended the first 3 days of his civil trial in Manhattan this week. Ahead of the fourth day, Judge Arthur Ongaron, who is presiding over the trial and who has already found Trump liable of fraud, issued a ruling that will block the former president and 2024 candidate, his sons, and company executives from secretly transferring or protecting their assets. McAuliffe said the penalties and consequences of the trial could be foundational to Trump's net worth because it is so deeply intertwined with his ability to promote confidence in his assets. Quote, a key component of Trump's net worth is his ability to convince others of the value of his brand and his properties. The civil suit takes aim at that very issue, McAuliffe said. It's like a balloon popping. Once the air starts escaping, it's hard to stop, end quote. Speaking to reporters outside the courthouse on Wednesday, Trump said, quote, nobody's supposed to know my net worth. But now everybody is and will, and I hope you're impressed, end quote. He also said that the financial documents he submitted in the past are much less than his actual net worth. It can't be fraud because I gave them lower numbers, he said. The Trumps have been accused by New York Attorney General Letitia James' office of inflating their assets in an effort to commit insurance fraud. James alleged that Trump, in particular, inflated his net worth by as much as $3.6 billion during 3 years between 2011 and 2021. It is 8:57, almost 8:58. Going to take a break. Stick around. You're tuned into your local Civic Media radio station.
My bills are all due, and the babies need shoes, but I'm busted. Cotton is down to a quarter a pound, and I'm busted. I got a cow that went dry, and a hen that won't lay. A big stack of bills that get bigger each day. The county will haul my belongings away. I'm busted. I went to my brother to ask for a loan. I was busted. I hate to beg like a dog for a bone.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know what's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.